you a new customer, too.
Blog Talk Radio.
I've been down, but all I know, something had to give, something had to give. Cause living my life so wild and free, finally caught up, oh, it left me broken, left me hopeless. But that's where
him on this earth to get everybody ready for the gospel of Christ, for Christ to start his ministry. And, you know, he's got a unique story himself. And a lot of people don't really get into the story of John the Baptist that much. We know ourselves that the Baptist church was created, you know, from his name and a lot of things. We've heard details, but we've not really got into the details. But, you know, he was a pretty important guy, and I know that, you know, when John got beheaded, I'm going a little ahead of myself, but when John got beheaded, you know, it kindly upset Christ, you know, he heard about his cousin. See, John the Baptist was Yeshua's cousin. And when he heard about his cousin, you know, actually, you know, getting killed, he was upset about that. And he said he was one of the greatest prophets that there was, is the way he put it. He said, I mean, and if we really would think about it, we're like, you know, man, Jesus, man, he's pretty up there. You know, he's the son, and all these other prophets did great. But none of the other prophets, you know, promoted Christ, was getting the road ready for Christ himself. No other prophet did that except for John. John was created for that one job. And none of the other prophets could ever say, you know, one day that, you know, Christ is coming, that, you know, the Christ is going to be here, that's going to withhold the Spirit of God in him. It's going to be walking in front of us, talking in front of us. God himself is going to be here talking to us, and he's going to be here pretty soon. I'm just getting ready for his ministry. I mean, no other prophet could say that except for John the Baptist. So that's one of the things that made John, you know, one of the greatest prophets, like Jesus said he was. And, you know, it's awesome the job he got to do, and how, you know, and it was pretty neat that Jesus and John was actually, you know, they was related. And how you doing, Robert?
Hey, Stan, I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Hey, man, it's good to have you here. I'm going on one of my tangents again, so.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I get talking about, you know, some of these prophets, I just start going in with it. But you know, it's like, you know, like I was talking about John, you know, he was a good guy. He did a lot of stuff, more things than what people realize that he did. And you know, he baptized a lot of people and told a lot of people about the Lord. What do you know about John,
yes,
Robert?
Well, you know, one of the things that I enjoy about looking at John's life is that John's ministry, we know, was like it was really short. And I like to relate it to, like, say, if you go to a concert, you always have, a feature band to play, right? But before the feature band comes on, they send out maybe one or two different smaller bands that aren't quite as popular as the main event. So John was the first band to open up the show for the ministry that Jesus was about to undergo. So John's ministry was, like you said, it was to prep the hearts of people. And I was looking today at one of the things that says that John was leading the people to repentance. They were coming to John, and John was giving them something new to think about, okay? Because the word repentance, that's what it means. It's a 180-degree turn in your thinking, a drastic change in the way you think. Well, I started looking at that close today, wanting to understand why John was trying to get, well, if you look at the history of the Jewish people, many of the Jewish people only knew the Lord as like this God who judges, you know, due to the law and so forth. They didn't know him for the God of grace, the God of love and mercy and compassion, the way that he's introduced to us through John's life and through Jesus' life. The message that John preached is a smaller version of the message that Jesus preached. You can read about that in Luke chapter 3, when people ask John, I'm a soldier, what do I need to do? What should I do? And John said, okay, if you're a soldier, don't falsely accuse anybody. If you're a soldier, don't treat people badly. You know, he had different things that he told them. Don't do violence to any man or accuse anybody falsely. And be content with your wages. You know, there was different things that people asked him, different questions, but it was like almost like a small Sermon on the Mount John gives here in Luke chapter 3.
Oh, yeah.
to people whenever they were asking about him. So I think it's a very interesting thing that John was like a foreshadow or a forerunner, as it says in Scripture, of Jesus, that would get people to look at relating to the Lord differently than they had done in the past. That was the bulk of his ministry, to get people to refocus and to think differently about God so that they could be prepared for the Messiah. John's ministry was just that, the ministry of getting hearts ready to receive and accept the Messiah.
That's one thing that I really see a lot of, you know, nowadays there's a lot of street ministers hitting the roads really, you know, showing how the old prophets used to do, healing the sick and bringing people into the real kingdom instead of just, you know, drawing people into a church and feed them a bunch of cheese and drinks and having to sit down and listen to a good, a good preaching or something to tickle their ears, but to really open them up to God. And it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of people hitting the streets now praying, bringing people into the kingdom. And that's kind of how John did. He was preparing the way for Christ. And a lot of the people on the streets now, they're preparing people's hearts for Christ, to open themselves up to Christ, because there's a lot of people now, they got hard hearts for Jesus. They got hard hearts for Christianity because they're so tired of the old religious churches. They're telling them, you know, they're going to go to hell for everything. And, you know, and I'm not going to say that hell is not a threat, because it is. I mean, I ain't going to say that. It is a threat, but it ain't what you concentrate on. You can concentrate on the love of God, and that's one thing that, you know, a lot of the disciples did. They tried to promote the love of Jesus, and Jesus loved us so much, he gave up his whole life for us, where we can gain new life, you know. But that's one of the main things, you know, that, you know, if, you know, the ones that's on the street, that they're bringing people to Christ, they're opening up people's eyes up to Christ. And it's kind of like John was doing. He was in the woods. He was out in the lakes. He was out there baptizing, getting people ready for Christ.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a win-win there. You know, we're all trying to get people into the church. We're all trying to get people open to Jesus, to the real message and the real gospel of Jesus, not, you know, some type of watered-down thing with, like, a bunch of religious doctrines added to it, but to the real Jesus. We want people to come into a church ready and open and ready for Jesus to actually, you know, manifest in them, to see Jesus inside of them, not outside on a screen or something they're being told about, but Jesus working inside of them. And one thing that was really getting in my mind, I think it was today at work, I was thinking about this, is how, I might have said this on the show before, but how there's a lot of churches in a surrounding area, and I think it was actually in Bugger City, down there close to where you live, Robert. And I was at my friend's church. We were there. She had a little Pentecostal church in there, and they believe in the power of God. And, you know, you see the power of God working in that church all the time. You go in there, you feel it. So they saw a family come in, a family just sneaking in the back, and you know, my friend's mom, which is Mary, she went back there to greet them and said, "We never saw you before here. Welcome here. We welcome you." And they told her, they was like, "Well, we went to the church across the street, but my kids has not changed in 3 years. They're still getting in drugs. They're doing all the wrong things. They're really, you know, their lives is not changing. They're getting worse." And she said, "I thought I'd just have to jump across the street to this little church over here and see if your church could help change their lives." So when she brought her kids in there, we prayed for every one of them. The Holy Spirit was hitting every one of them, and they started feeling the change in their life. And you could see the smiles and the stuff going on with them. And that's one of the things, you know, that you really got to look at. When you're going to church, are you changing? Are you seeing a change in your family's life? Are you seeing a change in your life? Are you seeing a change in your wife's life? Are you seeing a change in your teenager's life? Is Christ changing your family? Is Christ changing you? Now, if he's not in that church, if he's not changing you, There's something going on there that you're not being taught right, or, you know, they're not leading you right. They're not leading you to receive Christ. There's something going on there. When it's like that, you need to pick up your Bible. You need to read that Bible from word to word and see the seminary, you know, see what they're saying is wrong and what they're saying is right. And if everything in the Bible that you're reading in the Gospels is not what your minister is teaching or your church is teaching, you need to get out of that church.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find one that is going to believe that, that is going to lead you in the right way. And there's so many people that are so stuck in where they have been going from generation to generation that they don't know nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
Their life is not changing. They're not seeing their jobs getting better. They're not seeing their outlook on life changing. I mean, they're still depressed. They're still, you know, in that lockup. They're not feeling no peace. And they've been not feeling no peace for years. If you're not feeling no peace for years and you're not seeing no change in your life for years, you need to pick up that Bible and start, you know, seeing what your preacher's saying and what's going on and see if it's matching. And if it's not really getting to you, you need to move. Because you need somewhere where your soul is going to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul is like your body. It needs to be fed. And if it's not getting fed somewhere, get up and go to another restaurant. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of surprises me how people get stuck in a rut and they keep on going to the same place that they're not getting fed. I mean, if you don't see no change, you need somewhere to see a change. And first of all, pick up your Bible, read it for yourself instead of just depending on the preacher to teach all of it to you. Pick it up and read it for yourself a little bit. And there's listen to the show. We'll teach it to you too. So, you know,
that's right. Amen.
But, you know, we're going to teach you here too. But I'm just saying, you know, it's just something that's been on my heart for a couple of days. I was just thinking about this. And like I've said before, there's been situations where I've ran into people that's been in that type of ordeal, that they've been in church and they're not changing. And that's not good. We need to see, you know, the Christians changing. We need to see them changing to be more Christ-like, not to be more worldly-like. You know,
amen.
And it's you know, like they say, you know, you become a Christian where you'll like it's one minister said, I'm trying to think of the old general of God that said this, but he said you become a Christian where you'll go home and kiss your wife and leave your neighbor's wife alone.
Good gracious.
You go home and kiss your wife and leave your neighbor's wife alone. That's what Jesus did for you. It changes how you look at things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
So if you're going to church and you're going the opposite, something's not right there. Something ain't being taught right there. You need to, you know, if your life is looking more like the world and your church looks like the world, You're not walking the footsteps of Christ, and you're not being taught and fed right. So you need, you need to go somewhere that's going to feed you right. But that's one thing about John the Baptist. He was really hardcore with what he believed. He lived it, he breathed it, and he was the perfect prophet to usher in Christ because he was, you know, God created him for that. He told people what they was doing wrong. A lot of the big people in the country back in then, but kind of like the we want to call it, if it was the rulers, they didn't like John because he would tell them what he thought. He didn't care whether he was a ruler, whether he was a soldier, whether, you know, you was a Pharisee. He didn't care. He told you what he thought.
He didn't care if you were a king.
Yeah.
You know, that's why he ended up in prison.
Yep. Because one of the rulers was having an affair with his brother's wife.
Yeah.
His brother's wife ended up trying to marry her and having affairs with her.
Yes.
And John didn't think that was right, and he told him that. He even told his wife, wife or whatever she was at that time.
Yes, sir, he did.
And that's why he got his head chopped off, because he's going against sin. He's showing them the sin that they were living in, and that's what we've got to be. As Christians, we've got to step up for things, you know. If we see some Christians living in sin, we need to let them know. I'm not saying smear in their face, but let them know that's not right. And a lot of times when you let people know it's not right, sometimes you're labeled the bad guy. You know, they hate to be shown what they're doing is wrong, but you've got to know it. I mean, if you're living in that life, somebody needs to show you or tell you that you're doing it wrong. But don't go tell somebody they're doing it wrong if you're doing the same thing. That's one thing you do not do. You've got to be living the life, too, before you go and face that person. If you're doing the same thing, don't say nothing. Work on yourself. Work on yourself.
Amen.
Like Jesus says, if you got a plank in your own eye, how can you take the plank out of your brother's eye?
That's right. That's right. You know, you was talking about how unique John is and John's ministry. Well, Isaiah prophesied about John, like you said earlier. He said that John would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And Isaiah said that about John. John was the one who came to get people's hearts ready and focused for Jesus and what he was going to do. John initiated the message of grace and truth that Jesus came preaching, the gospel. John preached repentance and baptized in water, you know, and all of that was geared towards getting people to stop focusing on their life of sin and to learn a new way to relate to our Heavenly Father. And he does establish that through John for, you know, Jesus' ministry. But some of the other unique things, I was looking at the gospel according to John, and John makes some statements about John, and he says that John said that Jesus was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. John bore record and said that he was told by the Lord that he would see the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and rest upon Jesus. And he said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. See, John's baptizing with water. We go in the water, and we're baptized in the water, and we say we're burying our old man. We're burying the old nature when we go down underneath the water. It is symbolic to the death, burial, and the resurrection when we go down underneath the water. John was getting people's minds and hearts refocused on living for God and getting them prepared for the ministry of the Messiah. And this, he was using water to do so. And he tells everybody, you know, this water, it's okay, but it's not what you need. It's not everything. He's just getting them stirred up in their hearts, you know, getting their thoughts to churning to see that, hey, there's so much more to come. Jesus is coming. And when he gets here, man, this water is going to pale in comparison to what he is going to bring to the table. This is what John is trying to do, get the people to focus on living for God in a different way and understanding things about their Heavenly Father and the Lamb of God who was going to take away their sins and introduce to them the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which would come later after Jesus ascended into heaven. But John got to witness the only person who was baptized in the Spirit of God without measure. This is unique about this man. Jesus was trying to get this point across that John's a mighty prophet. He's greater than any other prophet because of his ministry. He was the opening act at the concert that 6 months, you know? And he got people to focus on Jesus, not with water baptism. It can't save. Only can your believing in Christ save. So there's a lot of people who believe water baptism saves, but it doesn't save. It's like the law. The law does not save. Water baptism does not save. Only trusting and believing on Jesus saves. So John was getting people ready and focused on that. And that's such a very unique part of his ministry. Don't you agree?
Amen. Amen. What's so awesome about John, he has a unique story, what happened before he was born. It's really unique story how his mom and dad, you know, how he came about. And his mom couldn't really have any children. And his dad was a priest, a high priest in the Jewish system. And what was so unique was that every so often they would have a high priest to go into the temple, and he would pray for the people. He would do all the things that a high priest would do. And there was one time where John's father was elected to go in and burn the incense and all that stuff in the temple. And he was in the temple. It was his day. He was burning incense, doing his normal thing. And I think he wasn't really used to hearing a lot of God's voices in the temple for some reason. I don't know. But anyway, day, Angel Michael showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And spoke to him and said that he would have a son, and he was supposed to name him John.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, John, he's like, you know, my wife is old and this and that. And he's like, yeah, your wife will have a son. You will call him John. And then he started going out, you know, saying a bunch of outrageous things. Oh, I can't have this. And he said, this is the word of the Lord. This here is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he kept on fussing with him, and he shut his mouth. He said, you will not speak a word until your son is born. So John's dad was in there so long that all the people outside the temple was wondering, because, you know, back in those days, if the presence of God would come in there and the priest would have something going on with him, there was some sin on him, he would fall dead to the ground. And these priests would actually have bells on their coats and stuff where they would hear him fall, but they didn't hear nothing coming out of John's dad. They didn't hear no voice. They didn't hear nothing because he couldn't speak no more. So when his time was over in the temple, he came out, and nobody heard him come out, and then he came out and looked at them, and they knew something was up because he didn't say a word. And the only time he actually said a word is right when his wife Elizabeth, was getting ready to have John. And they was all coming together, and they was like, what are we going to name this child? What are we going to name this child? And they knew that his father's, you know, voice was taken away. You know, his mouth was silenced. And as soon as they started saying that, the Lord released his tongue, and he said, my son would be named John.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome story. Like I said, it's an awesome story behind the birth of John. And, you know, Jesus had a tremendous, you know, story behind his birth, too. But John had one also. A lot of people don't really realize that. But and there's another story about when Mary and Elizabeth met together. They was related. And when Mary and Elizabeth met together, and they were both pregnant at the same time, that the Holy Spirit jumped off of Jesus and hit John, and the baby in Elizabeth's belly, John, was jumping around in her stomach. She said, "Oh, my stomach, my belly is jumping for, well, my child is jumping for joy for your child." And that's when the Holy Spirit hit him. And that was awesome. Jesus could even throw the Holy Spirit while he was an infant in his mama's belly. I mean, it's awesome. But it's, you know, so many stories there about them, too. And a lot of people don't know about, but it's there in the Word. I mean, if you just really look at the details to it. But, you know, John was preparing. John was created by God to prepare the way for his son. And that's what he did. He did a great job at it. And, you know, are you, I want to ask everybody, are you preparing a way for Christ? Are you preparing people for Christ? Are you trying to lead them to Christ? Or are you doing the same thing, sitting in the same pew every Sunday, looking at your hymnal and singing, and once you go home, it's life as usual? Are you sharing the Word of God at work? Are you talking to anybody about Christ? That's something we should do. We should at least try to share Christ at least with a person a week, a person a day. You know, just, you know, you wouldn't have to sit there and just start throwing a Bible at somebody. You can just pick up a conversation. Give them a testimony.
Yeah.
That's the best thing ever. Just give them a testimony. Well, you know, Jesus did this in my life. You know, maybe you've been an alcoholic and you had problems and God delivered you from that. Tell somebody about that. Or maybe you've had pains and somebody prayed for you and got healed. Tell a testimony about that. Anything promotes what Jesus is doing in this world, what he's trying to do for everybody. He's trying to put himself inside everybody where he can rebuild you. He don't only want you to go to heaven. He wants to make heaven inside you. He wants to build the kingdom inside you. And a lot of people don't talk about that. We're too busy trying to rush to heaven. You know, the heck with now. We want to run to heaven when we die. But won't you build the kingdom inside of you? When he put that Holy Spirit in you, he put it there to build his kingdom there.
That's right.
You want heaven built in you. You want to feel that peace. You want to feel that joy every day. You want to feel it just when you get ready to kick the bucket and fly up to heaven. You want to feel it while you're living.
Amen.
And, I mean, I saw a lot of people walk in this glory. And they're not mean people. They're very happy.
Yeah.
They even start bursting out in joy and laughing constantly because they feel heaven inside them. And it's amazing to see that. And I'm going to tell you something else I was noticing the other day. I was noticing at work, I was going through a hard time. I don't know if I was having a hard day at work. And I just got to that point. I mean, you know, you get to these points where you just feel like, you know, everything's caving down on you. But the thing of it is, you got that peace of God in you. And when God starts seeing you, you start to get more than you can handle. That peace reappears in your heart, and you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And God starts showing himself to you. And then all them troubles start fading away because you gave yourself to him. And all of his promises, and he stands up for his promises. He will never let you get no more than you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was getting more than I could handle internally, and he showed up, and he revealed himself to me and brought me that peace that I was needing. I'd like to ask you today, are you in that trouble right now? Are you feeling that peace that you're needing? Are you feeling that peace that you're needing in your soul? Are you sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Are you positive that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Is your life falling apart right now because drugs? It could be because a bad marriage. It could be because a bad childhood. It could be because, you know, maybe you got out of war. Maybe you just got out of the Army. Maybe you just got out of the Marines and you can't find a job. You might be hurt. You might be missing a leg or arm or something, and it's really getting you down because you can't do what you used to do. Jesus could bring you that peace that you need. He could put that peace in your heart that you need. And at this time, I want to ask anybody that ain't received Christ, actually say this little prayer with me. He'll come into your heart and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for my sins.
Thank you for dying for my sin.
I invite you in my heart today.
I invite you in my heart today.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
And you rose on the third day for me.
And you rose on the third day for me.
I give my life to you now, Jesus.
I give my life to you now, Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank you.
I ask you to take away for all the sins that I've ever done. I ask you to take them all from me now.
I ask you to take away every sin I've ever committed. Take them away now.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You just
Hallelujah.
Said that you, Jesus just came and rushed into your heart.
Amen.
You just accepted him. He's coming into your heart. You're going to start feeling that peace now.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, I ask you to feel these people now. I just said this prayer. I ask you to feel these people now. Holy Spirit, feel
Hallelujah.
Them now. Let them know the peace. Let them know
mm-hmm.
the peace that they accepted. Let them know this peace. Let them know this peace, Father. Let them know this peace, Jesus. Jesus, just fill them with this peace. Fill their body from their head to their toe with this peace.
Amen.
Fill them from head to their toe with this peace. Anybody listening to this broadcast right now, including Robert, anybody, I ask you to fill them now with this peace, Father. Just fill them all now with this peace. Fill
yes,
them all
Lord.
Now with this peace, Jesus. Fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them up, 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 fill them up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.
And at this time, anybody's got any ailments, I don't know whether they got a headache, they got neck pain like I had earlier, if they got a, arthritis, if they just, they've got anything. They got anything. Just go ahead and put your hand right there where your ailment is right now. Just put your hand where our ailment is right now. Lord Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to remove any ailment, any pain, any headache, any ailment. Now, I command you to make this part of the body whole again.
Right now.
Make this body part of the body whole again. Any diseases, I curse and bind you. I command you to leave out of their bodies now in Jesus' name. Cancers, I curse you at the root and at the seed. I command you to die and go away now in Jesus' name. Headaches, I curse you and bind you. And I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. I command their head to be whole and peace to come upon them.
Yes.
I command any neck aches, I curse the pain. I command all vertebrae, I command all discs, I command all muscles to be repaired now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I command it all to be repaired now. Any broke legs, I command all bones to be fully repaired now in Jesus' name. I command all joints to be repaired now in Jesus' name. All tendons to be repaired in Jesus' name. All the bones in the knees to be repaired now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Anybody with a cold, I curse the infection. And the spirit of infirmity that's in their nasal cavity, I curse at the root and at the seat, and I command to die and go away now. I command all stuffiness in the nose to be relieved now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill the nasal cavity and repair it all now. Remove all the infection now. Anybody with a sore throat, I command it all to be repaired now in Jesus' name. I command it all to be repaired now in Jesus' name. I command any broke arms, any broke legs to be repaired now in Jesus' name. I command all muscle tissue repaired, all bone repaired. Holy Spirit, I ask you to go through these people. I ask you to repair the broken heart. I have a feeling there's a person with a broken heart. Holy Father, I ask you to come upon them and repair their heart. All the heart strings that's been pulled and pulled out of whack, I command all to be repaired now in Jesus' name. I command all the strings from their families is connected. I break all the curses. I break all the heartaches. I break all that in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you to put peace upon their heart now. Put peace upon their heart now. I know they've been going through some problems in their lives. I know they've been going through some issues in their lives. But Jesus can relieve all of that now. Father, remove all these pressures and all these pains off their heart. Repair all these pressures and all their pains in their heart. I ask you to go into the family and repair all the relationships that's broke. Repair all the relationships that's broke in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to send ministering angels to this family to help them to build this relationship up between the family members. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to go and help anybody that has addictions. Spirit of addiction, I curse and bind you with steel chains, and I command you to go to the abyss now. I command that curse of addiction to be broke now in Jesus' name. Be broke now in Jesus' name. I command healing amongst all these people listening to this show. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for healing all of my audience today. Thank you for touching their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Got
Hallelujah.
3 minutes left. We're doing pretty good today, Robert.
Yeah,
we
are.
Good today.
Amen. Amen. I'm always excited
Amen.
About Jesus.
Me too. I mean, it's awesome to see him touch people's lives and seeing things being transformed in that, you know,
yeah.
in their hearts and seeing families transform. A lot of people think when one person is saved, they think it's just them, but no, it starts working in their family. The family members see this one person being saved and seeing their life change, and it makes the mother and the father want to do the same thing, or the husband to
mm-hmm.
do the same thing, or the wife to do the same thing. It starts transforming in the family, and that's what's real important. It's not just that one person. It's the whole family being transformed, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that person to be transformed and their family to be transformed. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
But
Amen.
Awesome to see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, time is about over, and I want to thank you again, Robert, for coming on here and spending some time with me today. And we're talking about John the Baptist and his awesome story he's telling us about, Robert.
Amen.
And, we'll come back here next week, same time, and we'll find another topic to talk about next week, and I'm sure it's going to touch a many person.
Amen.
Amen. Do you have any speaking engagements or anything coming up, Robert?
Yes, on September the 14th, Sunday at 4 o'clock, I will be preaching at the Supernatural Acts of God Church. It's located out near Vail off of Highway 10 to be a church formerly called, I think it's called Favor, House of Favor. It's what it was. And it just recently changed pastors, and one of our ex-co-workers' mother attended there, and he told her about me always preaching, and
mm-hmm.
I've spoken to her two times in the past 2 weeks, and then her pastor called me today. I wasn't able to speak to her because I was out on the floor, but I'm looking forward to going there and ministering on Sunday, September the 14th at 4 o'clock. And the name of that church again is the Supernatural Acts of God Church. So
and this church,
that ought
this
to be
church,
good.
This church is actually on Highway 10. As soon as you get kind of close to Vail, it'll be on your left hand side. So it's a little church, and you'll see the sign up here. It says Supernatural Acts. It's a real awesome church. I've actually talked to them not too long ago, but they really believe in the power of God, and that's the way I think all the churches should be.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
So it seems like
that's great.
You're gonna have a good time there. Robert?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to it. And all week, that same week, I'll be in Charlotte all week at camp meeting with Brother Andrew Womack at Freedom Christian Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, starting that Sunday morning. And it goes through Friday night with Andrew Womack at Freedom Christian Center.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to that, too. Amen. Amen.
Getting a lot of things lined up there. You're going to start really getting the word out real good. It ain't going to be only at work anymore. It's going to be everywhere, man.
Oh, yes. I got another invite to come go and preach in High Point at the Solid Rock Ministries in High Point. One of our truck drivers is the pastor of that church, and I've been there and ministered three times in his church already. And he's scheduling me to come back there and minister again sometime soon as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Amen. Amen.
So everybody just put that down their calendars. And when you say the dates was again?
Sunday, I'll be at Supernatural Acts of God at 4 o'clock preaching. And then all week in Charlotte at the camp meeting at Freedom Christian Center with Brother Andrew Womack, starting that Sunday morning with homecoming, and then Sunday night through Friday night, he'll be there in Charlotte.
Amen. Be sure to go and check it out, everybody. And thanks again, Robert, for being on here with me. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place. God bless every one of y'all, and thanks for listening to our broadcast.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Joy, he is my joy. not be